led by the Spirit is a very huge subject, right? Being led by the Spirit is a huge subject. Cannot finish it. If you have to take a whole year to talk about it, it's a very interesting subject. Being led by the Spirit. You can whole year we learn, also it's continuously a lesson to us, right? Romans 8:14. Remember last week we read Romans 8:14 and 15? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Verse 15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Right? Just to recap, right? We talk about, in the context of Romans chapter 8, Apostle Paul said we should not be under condemnation. Then we look at what is flesh. Can you still remember?
Yes.
We are not supposed to walk in the flesh, set our mind on the flesh. Then slowly, Apostle Paul led us to what? The spirit of adoption. How important it is to understand. It all talks about mature sonship. Only sons that are mature, they are led by the Spirit. Most people do not see it if they do not look at the original Greek. If you don't see it, a lot of people teach, you know, all children are led by the Spirit. Yes, differently, but according to this verse, it says, only mature sons are led by the Spirit. Huios, small children, they are not led by the Spirit. It's something that we have to understand. Okay? So I just want to begin, to continue just a little bit. In the context of Romans chapter 8, when we talk about being led by the Spirit, of course we want to know what is the goal, the end goal. We say being led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, there is a destination. People lead you for a destination. Correct? Cannot be led for what? Led, don't know, just being led. So that's very dangerous. We will become very confused. So in the context of Romans chapter 8, if you look on up to verse 28, okay, everybody look at Romans 8, verse 28. It's a familiar verse. Right? Everybody can quote Romans 8:28. You say, we know all things work together for good to those who love God. And what? To those who are called according to His purpose. Right? And if you look at verse 29, it says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So number one, the context of the leading of the Holy Spirit is, we know mature sonship. Only huios, H-U-I-O-S, huios, mature sons are led by the Holy Spirit. Who is the sample, who is the example we have of the mature son? Jesus Himself. Correct? You know when Jesus was being baptized, when He came up from the water, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, then there was a voice that comes from heaven that said, this is my
son
in whom I'm well pleased. Remember that one? What did the father use? He didn't say, this is my little son. He said, this is my huios. Jesus was a mature son. So God was pleased with a mature son. Please get me right. In the Bible, son also include girls. My daughters, they are my daughters, but they are also sons of God. Joseph, myself, and Justin, we are all bright. Okay? We are bright of Jesus. Okay, don't be confused. It's got nothing to do with
gender.
Okay? We are misunderstood, okay? Marianne, Marissa, Joy, Amy, all are sons of God. It's not a confused gender or anything, but it is beyond gender, okay? So this, you see, when Jesus was baptized, when He came up, Father God said, this is my Son, my huios, in whom I'm well pleased. The same in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We are the context of God leading us. We know that the final thing that God wants to lead us is we have to be conformed to His image. He said, only mature sons are led by His Spirit. And in the context of Romans chapter 8, verse 29, God, through His Holy Spirit, lead us to become like Jesus. More and more to become like Jesus. To be conformed to the image of Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Jesus himself was led by the Holy Spirit. Remember, after he came out from the water, he was led by the Spirit to go where? To go to the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. He was led, the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness. Correct, ma? Nobody want to go to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But Jesus did that. He was our example. And beginning from there, in fact, his whole life, he only did what he saw his Father was doing in heaven. So that is the perfect example for us. To be led by his Spirit, what is the end goal? What is the target? To be same like Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You and I want to be led by the Spirit, not so that we can be famous or popular. They say, oh, see, I can be led by the Spirit. See, today I know what to wear. See, today I know what road to take or what. That's very good. We have to be led by the Spirit, not to promote ourselves, not to make ourselves great, but to become like Jesus. Amen. Amen. So you see, and it's very interesting. In the matter of being led by the Spirit, the Word of God uses relationship. It talks about only sons. He didn't say only those who study the Bible very well, only those who are very smart, only those who are spiritual, only those who are anointed. No. He says sons. Means what? Jesus, God likes to use the context of relationship all the time. It's not how many principles I know, how many books I have read, how many sermons I have heard, how many formulas I have learned, but it's always in the context of relationship. You can ask Joseph and Joy, they are married for how long? 26 years, you're still learning about Joy, to know about Joy. You do not know completely about Joy, but from first day you knew her until today, you know her more. You treat Joy differently as you know her more. You cannot, somebody give you, the father cannot give you a book, this is all about Joy. Go and read the book about Joy. You learn, Joy will be like that. Then you go and do according. Then you go, I thought if I do like that, Joy will smile. You'll be happy. How come according to the book, if I do this, how come didn't smile today? It doesn't work like that in relationship, right? Even though when we are young like that, when you are young, when you have to when chase a girl, like Justin one day want to chase a girl. Of course, he wants to learn how to please a girl. You go and watch TV, you go and read books. You know, last time I went and see the Christian book, how to tackle a girl and all that, right? That one you learn, right? No, you watch movie, they thought, if you buy a flower, girl will be happy, right? I mean, naturally, am I right?
Theory,
right?
Practical.
Yeah. But you go and buy a flower, not necessarily the girl will be happy. Maybe the girl doesn't like you.
How the world changed on the girl chase guy.
What?
So you see, what I'm trying to say is the context is always relationship.
Relationship.
Relationship. I can still...
Experiential.
I can still remember, there are pick up lines. You want to pick up girls, there are pick up lines, right? I last time told my wife, there are pick up lines. I go to the Christian bookshop. They teach you pick up lines.
Christian bookshop.
Christian bookshop. Then he said, go and tell the girl, if I were to rearrange the alphabet, I will arrange you and I together. Oh, you get it?
Yes, I get it.
Oh, because I know very good. But how to use the, you understand what I'm saying? Pick up line. Try to tackle a girl. If I were to rearrange alphabet, I will arrange you and I together. Maybe the girl will slap you.
I will arrange N and O.
Yes. Then the girl will say, if I were to rearrange alphabet, I will arrange N and O together. You and I? No. So these are formulas. So no matter how many formulas, no matter how many sermons you and I have heard, does not guarantee we are being led by the Spirit because it's in the context of relationship. Relationship talks about ownership. Someone owns us. It talks about responsibility. Only if a person understands responsibility, if you have a daughter, you see a boy who is not responsible, do you dare to let your girl go to that boy? No, right? So you see, relationship talks about responsibility, obligation, and obedience. So when we talk about being led by the Spirit, remember, it is always in the context of relationship. Apostle Paul himself said, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons. Sons talk about relationship. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, this is just the context. So, what is the final goal of this leading? You want to know what is the final goal? Number one, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Finally, all that the Holy Spirit leads us in every situation in our lives is so that we become more and more like Jesus. This is a mystery that will continue in the age to come. What do I mean by that? We are only living in this age. Many people only think about this age. In the Bible, it says there are ages to come. After the age on this earth, now we are living on earth, right? After this age has ended, there's another age. Ephesians and Hebrews talks about ages to come. In fact, in Hebrews it says powers of age to come. Ephesians talk about, you know, doing good works about the ages to come. So when what we do here to become more like Jesus will make us, prepare us for the age to come. Can I understand? So that means after you die, doesn't mean you go to heaven, jump on the clouds, join, play harps. One day, very soon, there will be a millennium reign of Jesus. On this earth, Jesus will reign for one. What millennium reign is how many years?
The second resurrection of everybody.
Yes. Millennium reign, how many years?
I don't know.
Hey?
I don't know. Thousand.
1,000?
1,000.
Jesus will come to this earth. He will become king of this world.
Rule with iron God.
Rule, no. Satan will be bound. No more Satan. Imagine in the whole world.
Wow.
Who will God appoint to be prime minister? Who will God appoint to be judge? Now, our time now, God trains us. God prepares us now. The more we are like Jesus, God can entrust you. Or maybe you just take care of PJ. Oh, happy you.
Yeah.
Wow. Not happy?
Happy you.
Not member of parliament. Member of parliament of Jesus, no, no, no.
Wow, Jesus.
Then every year, everybody will go to Israel for feast of the Lord, for example.
That means the whole world is ruled by Jesus.
Yes.
That means a one world government.
No.
Like, what I mean is, yes. Jesus take over, no more country, no more.
Yes. Could be country, but Jesus reigned over for 1,000 years. And the earth could be different. Countries will be different. Some countries destroyed. Maybe no more Malaysia or whatever. Some countries no more. There are shit nations, there are good nations, there are good nations no more. All the map of the world will be different. But Israel will be the capital of the world.
Wow.
So what do you think? Why are you going to do that? Not everyone will be there, right? Some will be in heaven. Some will qualify to be there. And that's another age. Now we are living in this age. The millennial reign is another age. After the 1,000 years, Satan will be loose again. Yes. Because those people who live during the millennial age never experienced temptation. So Satan will be loose again. Yes. After the age,
yes,
there are ages to come. That's why when we go to what science center, or when you go to see the universe, our universe is so big, like Milky Way. I go to with my family, look at the sun's 3D, always a 3D play. Milky Way, our galaxy. It's so big. But it's just one of the many, many galaxies. You think God created that for no purpose? His kingdom will know no end. Wow. So that's the importance of you and I going through this world to be conformed to be the image of Jesus. To be conformed to the image of Jesus means we go through every situation, every trial, we pass the test to be like Jesus. We respond like Jesus. We no longer respond in the flesh. Amen? That's the context of being led by the Spirit to be conformed to His image. Then the interesting verse that everybody talks about, Jeremiah 29 verse 11. What does Jeremiah 29 verse 11 say?
For I have plans for you.
And?
And? Give you hope.
And?
A good future.
Hope and future, right? If you look at the English Bible, only one version has a very interesting word. King James Version, because they use Old English, this is what it says. And I will give you an expected end. Expected end. There will be an expected end. In the days of Old English, when they translated it, like for example, there's an English book by Charles Dickens called Great Expectations. What does expectation mean during those times? A hope and a future. That means a positive end. Expected end is there will be a hopeful ending.
Good ending.
Good ending. Simple lah. Good ending. And expected end is good ending. Do you see that? God promised every one of us a good ending. No matter what happens, maybe you don't see it on our earth in our lifetime. At the end, it's a good ending. If you flip to the end of the Bible, it's already written. The final page of the Bible is written. Who won?
Jesus.
Jesus won. Not devil won. Not devil will not win. Jesus won. So it's an expected end. There is a promised destiny. Amen. There is an expected end. We have a clear destiny as His children. We say what? We will become like His Son. God wants us to become more like His Son. Hello? You get it right?
Okay,
Abba, Father. That's another destiny. There's also another destiny, another calling. What is that? God also calls us, like what they say, what? To be His bride. Joseph, myself, Justin, we are the bride of Jesus. B-R-I-D-E. What is bride? Pengantin lah. Pengantin perempuan.
Imagine
not
where we wear the bridal
gown. No. Okay, we will not wear the bridal gown. Okay, but it's figurative and it symbolizes our love relationship. One day there will be a wedding feast. It's stated, you know. One day Jesus prepared the wedding feast. We will be the bride. The Father will present the bride to Jesus. We will be the spotless, without blemish, right? That is also an expected end. That is also our destiny. Everyone has the potential to become bright. Everyone. Not everyone will end up as bright. That's the sad thing. Everyone has the potential to become like Jesus, the Huios Son, the mature Son. Right? But not everyone will reach their fullest potential. This should make us think, right? I'll be a son, but I'll be a bride. I just want to share with you something. You know, in May this year, was it May or June? I'm not sure. You know, in England, there are two princes, right? Three princes.
Prince Charles.
Prince Charles is one who never become a king, right? He's waiting for the mother. The prince who waited the longest time to become a king. Who never get to become king. When mother. When mother, you will die, or the mother will not die, the mother can live on
forever.
Actually, the mother can abdicate the throne and say, okay, from today onwards, I step down and I'm not queen anymore. And Prince Charles will become king, right? Okay, so we are not talking about Prince Charles today. Prince Charles has how many sons?
Two sons.
Two.
Two. What's their name?
Harry.
Oh, very. Oh, no, very. What's the Prince Charles' son?
William.
William and Harry. they are, their father is Charles. Their mother is
Diana.
Okay. Diana. Diana. This year there was a marriage. Recent years, few years ago, William and
Kate
Middleton got married, right? It was a royal wedding. This year, Harry got married to
Meghan.
Oh, very good. Meghan Markle, right? I want you to draw a parable from this wedding between Harry and Meghan Markle. If you go and read Meghan Markle, is Meghan Markle a princess?
No.
No.
It's an actress.
Is that an actress from America, right?
Yeah.
Songs of Solomon.
It's not from South Africa.
Not
yeah, it's not a show. It's from America.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle is an actress. She is the daughter of a mother, second marriage to the father. The father has a first wife. The father is white. The mother is black. Meghan Markle married before.
Yeah,
divorced.
Before.
Married. Divorce and other boyfriends. It was not a good life. It was not a beautiful life, right? Nobody would. It was not a good life. Before she got married, or before her wedding day, she already sent all the tailors, she sent everything to the father. Secretly, the father will go give some coat, all will be paid for, like, tuxedos, all because they have to go to the UK for the wedding. Right, a few weeks before the wedding, the father made a boo-boo of himself. Boo-boo means he made a shame. He embarrassed the family. He pretended, he went ask people to take photo of himself. He created paparazzi photo himself. You know, paparazzi means people will go and chase and take photo, right? So nobody go and chase. Nobody chase him for the photo. He paid his friend to take photo. That he was reading about UK history, he was reading about the daughter's wedding. So he got published the photo. People later leaked saying, this one he arranged one. So it was so embarrassing. So he said he finally called the daughter and said, I'm not going to attend your, I can't attend your wedding. Not, of course, then he gave the reason. He had to go through surgery. Heart surgery, won't recover in time to attend. But actually it was an embarrassment, right? Your daughter will get married, you go and do all this kind of thing. It's good, right?
He tried to create a viral, but
yes, he tried to create that, some photos, you know. Well, it all became an embarrassment. Prince Harry went to the father. Can you walk Meghan down the aisle of the church? Because no one will hold her hands, right? Prince Charles said, anything you want me to do, I can do for Meghan. I just want you to imagine that we, you and I, are just like Meghan. We are not anything special. Correct? Right? We don't have a proud background or a proud history. Right, like Meghan. But by virtue of his marriage, she is now a royalty. She is now a princess.
Princess.
The father says she has always been my princess. I know what he means, like. Every doctor is a princess to the father, right? My princess. But now she is really princess by title, and she is a princess. Everybody she goes, people address her, Your Highness, princess. Correct, my brother, my sister. It's just a very small picture of the love of God. We don't have a very beautiful life. Background and all that, right? But God accepted us just as we are. And His destiny for every one of us is to be royalty. You and I are anak raja. Royalty. Immediately you become bright means what? God is king. We are bright means we are sons, daughters of king, prince and princess. Isn't that wonderful? If you think about that, your heart will be touched to say, wow, God loves us so much. We don't deserve it. You see, Sister Joy read all about Meghan Markle. Do you think does she have a proud background? No. Not a proud background.
Only I know she's a Christian, and she brings her own
her own church people to conduct the marriage, everything.
The reason?
But, yeah, but she doesn't have a proud background. Father also embarrassed, last minute also brought embarrassment. That's our lives. Flesh will bring embarrassment to us. Our lives are right now. But you see, Prince Charles, you see, the love of God is okay. You are accepted into the family. Wow. That's us and Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I know your sins. You can never be a royalty. You cannot come into the royal house. Right? You and I are not born prince and princess. Right? Correct or not? You are a commoner. Don't know 0.0001% you will ever be a royalty by way of marriage. But God sees us. He calls us out. Wow. He calls you, calls me with a destiny. Whatever your problem, whatever your sickness, whatever shortcoming, weakness, shame, embarrassment, our pride, all our ugliness, your destiny, my destiny, one day to be a bride. We will walk down the aisle. We will attend the wedding feast for us that God has prepared. If you know all these stories, you go and watch the video of this wedding, then you'll feel very touched. You say, wow, this is a commoner, useless, don't have a reputation. The mother is a second wife. It's not a good background. God loves us like that. Can you imagine that? Is it hard to imagine? Not hard, right? Because you and I are not royal blood. But that's how our Father loves us. I want you to take a little time now along these thoughts. I want you to close your eyes for a while. Let's think about the love of Jesus. Can you do that? Yes. It's good we have not many people, but we can. So we do. Let's play some music. I want you to close your eyes. Let's think about the love of God in our lives. That whatever our background, whatever our shame, God sought for you. He called you out among your family. He called you out. He searched out for you. He said, you have a destiny. I want you to be my bride. The bride of my son. Now as you go through, you look back at your lives, your background when you grew up, all the things that you have gone through. Maybe you have nothing to be proud of. But today, may the Holy Spirit bring afresh the love of God in your heart. That even if no one accepts you, no one thinks you are special, God thinks you are special. He loves you. Like Meghan Markle, like someone who doesn't have a proud background. She had a destiny to be a princess. To be in the family of royalty. I want you to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Just close your eyes for a while. I want you to imagine yourself in a field. Can you close your eyes? Imagine you're sitting on a field, grass field, not grassy field. Can you see you're sitting on a grassy field? Beside the field, beside the grassy field, you see a beautiful lake, beautiful water. Can you see that? Can you see that in your eyes, in your imagination? Don't fall asleep, right? You sit there, you feel the wind blowing at your face. You're alone there. You're just relaxed there. Can you imagine yourself there? And suddenly you feel someone put his hand around you. Person put his hand around you at the back on your shoulder. You never expected, but when you look at turning around, you saw Jesus embracing you. You felt such a warmth of his love. Jesus put his hands around you. He wrapped you in his arms. And for the first time, all your cares, all your burdens, all your feeling of shame, you just put your face on the chest of Jesus. You just lay your head on his chest and you felt so much love. And all this shame, all these things that you have been carrying, just drop off yourself. Because this is a love that is so alive that when he wraps his arms around you, you can just feel him saying, "I love you, my child. You have a destiny. You are part of royalty family. All that we have gone through is not wasted." Can you see Jesus wrapping himself around you? And you are so happy to just put your head on his chest and you just want to embrace him. Just take for a moment, put your whole head, your whole heart on his chest to say, "Lord, thank you for loving me. Lord, thank you for loving me. No one loves me like you do. No one loves me like you do." Can you just put your whole life, your heart, all your heartache, all your disappointment, all your discouragement, everything just becomes unimportant when you just put your whole heart, your whole face on his chest. Just enjoy the time you can just let Jesus embrace you, love you, telling you you have a destiny. Just spend a few moments. Your heart, let his love touch you deeply, telling you, "You're a prince, you're a princess, you're my bride. I call you, I search you, I wanted you. Even though you see yourself useless, I wanted you. I see worth in you." Can you feel his love right now? As you continue to feel the wind blowing, can you feel him embracing you? Can you feel him embracing you? Just for this moment, just take a few moments. I want all of you to just look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Can you look at Jesus now and quietly ask him, "Lord, how do you feel about me? How do you feel about me? What do you want to tell me?" And I want you in this experience, let Jesus speak to you now. I'm going to leave you for a moment. As you look at Jesus, ask him, "Lord, how do you feel about me? What do you want to speak to me?" I'm going to leave you. Just let Jesus talk to you now. Jesus before you come out from this experience. Just hug Jesus tightly. Embrace him tightly. Say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Can you hug Jesus tightly? Don't let me go. I don't want to let you go. You love me so much. Can you just hug him? As you're still sitting there at the grass, just hug him. Just your whole face and continue to just hug him tightly. Come up from that experience. Do you feel anything? Anybody feel something, or do you have a? Is it real to you? Does Jesus talk to you? Does Jesus talk to you?
I don't know whether I'm thinking myself, but I have to think saying that I'm always with you. And sometimes we don't realize. Then the words, we don't reach it out. I never need you on my own. God, I'm a child. Then I can, just like I can, feeling of God's, not feeling of God's relationship. But just like a father who's moving with God. So it's so, sometimes I feel. You don't have to worry about anything. So just bring it to me.
That was real, Brother Joseph. It's not your mind. That was real. That was real. Do you feel anything, Jesus? Did Jesus speak to you? That was real. Jesus was talking to you. Do you feel anything before? Do you feel Jesus speak to you? What did he say? Can you share?
God speak. He showed me.
What do you see? What?
Very fast, it's like different. I can see Jesus in different development, different stages of my life. He is always there, right?
With you,
with me, and then his affirmation. He say that I'm a loving child. So
it was real, right? It was real. You see anything? You do what I say? What do you hear? Do you sense anything? Feel anything in your heart? Able to hear that? Secret, can I?
Secret.
Mr. John?
I feel peace.
I feel peace.
So peace.
I know, because when you all shared, I could sense when Brother Joseph shared what he said. And when he shared, I sense his presence, it's real. When I do that, I also felt God say something to me.
I think the world people use the hypnosis is quite similar. Because I've been through before, ma. They put some background but not worship, some kind of, they keep on repeating all the music and then the you have to focus on the speakers, and then they turn off all the lights. Then they say, imagine your darkest, lowest moment of your life, and then imagine that they use the imaginary, like this different. But see, this one is really.
Yeah, that one is a counterfeit.
Counterfeit.
You see, you have 50 ringgit, you have fake one also. So people use counterfeit also. But this is one way we can enter into God's presence and hear Him speak. Sometimes you can feel Him also. You know, this is one way you can enter into His presence. Mm-hmm. I think we can do this many times. There are many, many different of things we can do. Just spend a few, we can do as a group. Just spend 5-10 minutes. I think I've done with my family before. We talked about, you see Jesus, where is he now? This is real. Imagination can be a bridge to the spirit realm, but it has to be sanctified imagination. Okay? So you see, that parable, that what happened, it speaks about the love of God to us. When God speaks, he speaks from a heart of love. Right? We say we are being led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We know the context, we know the goal of the Holy Spirit, where he wants to lead us. There is an unexpected end. He wants us to become like Jesus. But do we know who is leading us? Who is this Holy Spirit who leads us? This Holy Spirit is the one who sheds the love of God in our hearts. Nothing can make the love of God real except the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. That's why, you see, we go back when we talk about Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, you did not receive spirit of slavery to bring you back to fear. You tie all together. This Holy Spirit did not bring you, it's not a spirit of slavery to bring you back to fear. Hello? Follow me, eh? Yeah. And then there's another verse that says what? Perfect love casts out fear. And how does the perfect love come? Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit who shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. Really, read Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. By who?
By the Holy Spirit.
You know who leads you. You don't fall back into fear, because it is not spirit of slavery, but it is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Hallelujah. Know who is the one that is leading you. Know who he is to you. Who he is. He is love. And if you want to be even more sensitive to be led by the Spirit of God, you align yourself with the indwelling Spirit. Hallelujah. Paul said, right? He said, no condemnation. Don't walk in the flesh. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And he talked about spirit of adoption, remember? And he said, don't forget, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Who this Spirit is? The Spirit that brings the love of God in your heart. You want to be more led by the Spirit? We align ourselves with love more. Hallelujah. If you align with fear, you cannot be led by the Spirit. It's opposite. So we ask ourselves every day, every moment, am I now aligned with love, or am I aligned with fear? Very clear. Every moment, if you're aligned, very easy, yeah, we succumb to fear. Like, tomorrow not enough money, tomorrow this doesn't happen, tomorrow no, this, tomorrow that. But all very easy. But you have a decision to make. Holy Spirit is inside me. I can choose to be scared, to be fearful, or I can choose to bask in the love of God. The Holy Spirit inside me will shed abroad the love of God in my heart. Align your spirit, your soul, your body with the love of God. Your thoughts, is it loving thoughts or fearful thoughts? Your emotion, is it fearful emotion or loving emotion? Your will, do you act, you do something out of fear? I pray because of I fear. Hello, not effective, lah. I pray because I fear, or I pray because I love. I know God is love. I'm confident when I pray. A lot of people pray. I realized one day, many years ago, right? Every day I must pray when I go to work, because I'm scared that something will happen. Then I realized, hey, why I pray like that? Yes. But it's very normal. Everybody does that. You know, we pray, you know, becomes like, you know, pipe, 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 boopy, 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 you know, we... right on, okay,
let's... After they pray, they also still scared.
Yeah, because no real peace, man. So it's just boopy, 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 boopy. I don't know what's boopy. What's boopy?
Like,
Protection. Okay. Hokkien, okay, right? Popi, right?
Okay. We pray because of fear. So you align your spiritual activity also align with fear. You are not led by the Spirit of God. We must align with love. Amen. Okay. Amen. That's beautiful. So number one, the Holy Spirit, who is this who leads you? He's the one who shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. So we want to align with love and not fear. And number two, who is this who leads you? In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will tell you things to come. Who is this Spirit? Spirit of? Spirit of?
Spirit of love.
No, what does He say? John 16, 13. Now, when He, the Spirit of? Truth. John 16, 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. So many people say, I must know all the correct doctrine. But this truth, this word truth, speaks more than truth. Truth in this context talks about what? Reality. If that is the word, let's read it again. Now when the Spirit of reality has come, He will guide you into all reality. Okay? Different one. To be led by the Spirit, we must receive higher thoughts from God. Because, my brothers and sisters, think about this. Compare your reality with the reality of God. If we stay in our own reality, we cannot see the reality of God. It's real to us. Our reality is very real to us. Now I don't have enough this. Now I feel sick in this area. I have this sickness. I have all this. Real. That's your reality. But what is God's reality? There was one time the Holy Spirit asked God's servant. He asked, does my Holy Spirit ever fail? Or ever lose? Or ever fail? What do you think? What's the answer? Does the Spirit of God ever lose? Oh, that's the reality. The Spirit of God never lose one. And where's the Spirit of God? Inside you, inside me. But your reality is, when I live life, I have failures, I have this and that. Whose reality prevails? When the Spirit of reality has come, He will lead you into all reality. Now, this one is difficult because now you have to surrender your lower thoughts. It's very real to you. You have to surrender your lower thoughts and to receive the higher thoughts of God. Secret of being led by the Spirit when you realize His reality. Just think a few more examples. What is the reality from God's perspective? Number one, He never fails. He never fails at all. Can I give you another example? He never tell lies. Sometimes you tell lies. But what is the reality about God? God is not a man that He tell lies. This is in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Does God tell lies? No. Is that a reality? Is that a reality? That is God's reality. Whatever true prophetic word He has given to me, I can believe it. I can believe it. That is His reality. I give you a perfect example. If I have a prophetic word from a true prophet of God, just example, of course there is some truth to it, but if I receive a prophetic word, then one day I have a ministry that is even
Kingdom City has how many people, for example, in the congregation?
Around 1,000.
Joseph Green has how many people?
I think
30,000
or more.
30,000. I have a prophecy. And my ministry will have something like Joseph Green's. I'm giving an example. I mean,
30,000 lah. Whose reality is that? God's reality, right? Right now, I look at my reality. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm giving you an example. Whose reality do I believe in? Whose reality do I live under? If I feel that, oh my, my God called me to just 6 people. I do lousily. I just share whatever. But if I live in God's reality, whether it's 6 person, 2 person, I still give the best. I still release and speak the best. I'm living from God's reality. So there's no change. One day when you see me and the ministry is 30,000, you will say, it's same thing. When I speak during 6 people and when I speak when it's 30,000 people, same. You live in God's reality. That's the, you see that? So a person who is sick, still sick, but he receive a word, God will make you well. You will not hear. Whose reality do you live under? When the spirit of reality has come, he will guide you into all reality. That's the spirit. You want to be led by the spirit of God, you must let go of the lower reality. Your lower thoughts, allow God to give you his higher thoughts. And then people will start saying what? You are crazy. That's what happened to Cho Yong Gi. When he first started so few people, he said, I'm pregnant now. I see God tell me, I will have a big church. He is pregnant. He begins to say, he begins to go and measure how big is his church, how big is his table, how big is his chair. People say he's crazy. But he subscribed to a higher reality. Wow. Not big. Many, hey, to do that is not easy, you know. Because you have to surrender your lower reality. See, God never lies. He is faithful. If you can, we can sing about it. Great is your faithfulness. But if that is the reality, can you let go of the reality, which is opposite to the reality of God? What else? Think. Go back. Spend time to think. God never fails. God never tells lies. God never gives up. God doesn't give up, no. Do you think God will give up? And if you live from that perspective, we will not easily give up on people, right? We see someone like gone case. But if you see from God's reality, hey, never give up on people easily. Maybe one day God can still change and turn that person around. Then you are living from God's reality. But if you are living on your own reality, this one, tapi pakai, sure, gone case one. So there are many of such God's realities that you and I find out. When you read the word of God, you see God never cheats, God never lies, God never fails, God never gives up. What else? That is the word of God for you that for that season. You see, Brother Joseph today receives a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit. God never leaves you. That's heavenly reality. But there will be 101 reasons in your life now that will convince you God is not with you. Look, now you don't have this. Look, this is not happening. Look, that is not happening. Whose reality do you live in? I just received from the spirit realm, God does not leave me. I have to surrender the lesser reality. Because in the natural realm, everything is opposite to the reality from the spirit realm. For you to choose. You want to be led by the Spirit, which reality do you choose? You let go of the reality, subscribe to the higher reality. Yes, God, this is what you say. He will never leave, you will never leave me. Even though every evidence, I don't have this, I don't have that, everything is now happening against me, this is all, no. Also none. But you say you will never leave me. Hello? The Bible is full of such lies. Joseph has a destiny. Like he called, the Bible, Joseph was not the same. God gave him dream. But every situation is opposite to the reality that the family members will bow to him. And every time he's in that situation, he can choose to yield to that reality or God's reality. And according to the Bible, he chose the higher reality. How do I know? Every time he is in that situation, being sold to the slave, in the house of Potiphar, in the house of Pharaoh, the presence of God
was with him. If he chose his own reality, you think God's presence will be with him?
No. From then we know, even in the house of slave, inside him, he still feels, I'm a prime minister, I'm a king, I'm a royalty, I'm a prince. People will not understand you. It's crazy. You now and then, you better go and do something else. Inside, he's still thinking, one day people will bow down to me, this is what I am. That reality becomes boring. And then it happens. You can see David anointed to be king. Already prophesied to be king. Prophet Samuel anointed him. Running like a fugitive in the wilderness from one cave to another. King Saul wanted to kill him. For how many years he has to wait before he becomes king? I have a destiny, I have a prophecy. That reality, do you live in? Or King David every time run? So even though when he was running in the cave of Adullam, he also has people following him. Why people want to follow him? He carries a different reality. Amongst the people also, he's already a king. Joseph already lived like he already saw his destiny fulfilled. That's why he always has favor. He didn't live like a slave. If he lived like a slave, the Potiphar won't promote him. He never lived like that. He lived his destiny. His behavior changed. His thought pattern changed. Amen. Wow. When the spirit of reality has come, he will guide you into all reality. Hallelujah. He's the one who shed the love of God in our hearts. He's the one who will bring us into all reality. Wow, so fast, I already spent so much time. Okay, I'll just end here, but I just want to finish with this understanding. Last week, we saw, like riding a horse, right? We surrender the rein to God, right? We submit our control to God. I want to go deeper now. When it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, when Apostle Paul chose this word led, it is a very strong word. It is not just lead you, led by, lead you, come follow me, Joseph, come follow me, come Justin, just follow. Then if you don't want to follow, it also doesn't do anything. In the Greek word, the choice of word was very specific. It was a strong word. It is used when you direct an animal to follow. Like when Jesus asked the disciple, go and bring the donkey to me. It's the same word. Bring the donkey to me. Lead the donkey to me. He's got no choice. The donkey cannot run away. When the blind man want to be healed, Jesus said, bring that blind man to him. The same word, led by the Spirit, he has to go. It is a very strong word. That means the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to just surrender your control. He wants to possess you fully. Possess you fully. We surrender our all for Him to lead us. And it is a very beautiful picture of partnership. Even though it is a strong word of being led, He cannot do it without you taking the step. Correct or not? Many people say, if the Holy Spirit want to lead me, He will still make me do it. Cannot. It's a partnership. You yield, you surrender, God use me. He has to go and do the work. He has to go to Africa and preach the gospel. Do you see? It's a strong word, but it takes your obedience. It takes you walking out. Like the video I shared in the chat group, right? Reinhard Bonnke. He had a dream four times in a row. He had to obey. He had to pack the letter to resign. I cannot do this missionary. I must go to Africa. It's two things. God will lead you. You have to partner with Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today. You are such a good God that you can look at your word. Your word is full of life. Because Jesus, you are the word of life. We are not studying some words, some principle, some original text, some original language. But we are sitting at your feet. We want to be like Mary sitting at your feet in Bethany. We want to just receive every word that comes from your mouth. But yeah, you are leading us, guiding us more and more and more to become like Him every day. The Holy Spirit is working in us to make us become like Him. And Father, we thank You tonight that Your Holy Spirit also work in our hearts to share abroad the love of God. We thank You for Your grace and privilege that You can speak to us. You can let the love of God engulf us. That we feel so comforted, so assured that You have not left us. Thank You, Lord. And today we are reminded of a higher reality. When the Holy Spirit leads us into this higher reality, we choose to let go of that lower reality, Lord. We align our lives with the love of God and not fear. And we choose to walk in Your reality and not the lower reality. My brothers and sisters, take this time to talk to God, to speak to Him what you have learned today. You see, it's a context of relationship, right? Talk to Him. Just talk to Him in your own words. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, thank You for speaking to me. Thank You for the truth, Lord. Help me. Sometimes, Lord, I yield to my own to my lower reality. Because it is so real, Lord. My flesh, my sin, it is so real. Help me to know that Your Holy Spirit is far greater, far more real in my life. You can be honest with God. You can be transparent with God. Just tell Jesus, I know my weakness, Lord. Thank You, You encourage me to live in Your reality, to live in Your realm. Even on this earth, I can live in the reality of Your realm. Then that is when I yield every part of me, when I yield every part of me to Your realm, to be sensitive to Your realm, to be sensitive to Your reality. Father, I pray that You release this measure of grace in our lives, Lord, so that we can walk in this reality. When Joseph in the Bible chose to walk in Your reality, Your presence was with him. God, we need this assurance that Your presence is with us. That Your Holy Spirit that dwells inside us becomes so real, more real than our external circumstances. My brothers, my sisters, just tell Jesus this now. Make Jesus so real. Make Holy Spirit so real. More real than my external circumstances. More real than my fear. More real than my worries. So that all these things begin to die down. And I live in the reality of God's presence. Hallelujah. Can you tell Him that? Why not we stand together and tell Him that? Jesus, make Yourself real. Make Yourself real. More real in my heart. Make more real in my heart. Let's talk to Jesus now. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just play the music again. I just want you to just slowly yield yourself to God, every part of yourself, and tell Jesus, Lord, today I choose, I want to be led by Your Holy Spirit. I let go of my own mind, of my own thinking, my old mindset, my old feelings. I want to access that higher reality, the higher reality that can be found in Your presence and in Your realm. Hallelujah. 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 Now, this time you can approach Him differently. You can fill your heart with His love. You can approach Him with gratitude. You can approach Him with excitement, with faith. He has spoken to you. You can approach Him with love inside you. Say, wow, God, You are such a beautiful God. You can approach Him with confidence, with boldness, with love, with joy. You say, God, I'm so excited to be led by You. I'm so excited, Lord, that I can choose to surrender, to yield and submit my old ways to You, my flesh,
my thoughts. Those that are not aligned to your love. Those that are not aligned to your realities. This evening, God has surrendered them. I can with joy surrender them. I don't have to entertain them anymore. When the thoughts come to make me worried, when the thoughts come to make me fearful, when the thoughts come to make me down, pull me down, I yield them to you. And I subscribe to that higher reality. I am royalty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see my destiny. You see me as if I've already fulfilled my destiny. You want me to live from that reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill me with that reality. Even now, fill me with your presence. Because in your presence is that reality. My brother, my sisters, let the Holy Spirit bring the reality of His presence right now to your hearts. Hallelujah. Let's yield. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just love Him. Just thank Him. The more you thank Him, the more you're stepping into that reality. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just thank Him. And you walk right into His realm. Walk right into His reality. You can see in front of you like a door. It's half open. You can see bright light behind the door. You can now enter Him. The door is open. You don't have to stay back here. You can enter in. Just walk with thanksgiving. Walk right in into His reality. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just walk right in. Open that door and walk right in into His presence, into His reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let every shape of darkness in your thoughts leave you now. Let every shape of darkness in your emotion leave you now. Let the bright light from the presence of God wash you, illuminate you, fill you with Himself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's very real to you now. Let's receive that brightness from His presence now. Touch in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let that reality break forth into your spirit now, into your soul now. Receive in Jesus' name. My brother, my sister, receive. Like a child, receive in Jesus' name. Right? Like with a childlike faith, receive in Jesus' name. Walk right through that door into His reality. Walk right through into that door into His reality and decide to stay there. This is my home. Your realm is my home. Your reality is my home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you may feel lighter. You just feel some, how you feel very light inside you. Just approach Him with a childlike faith. That is between you and God. Approach Him with a childlike faith. God may want to do different things to different people tonight. Just approach Him with childlike faith. Hallelujah. He's beginning to minister to all of you now. Just forget about the people around you. Hallelujah. He wants to do. Let Him do. Let it flow, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Flow, Holy Spirit, in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions. Set us free. Touch us. Take us deeper, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Flow. Flow deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Like a childlike faith. Move to your daddy. Move closer and closer and closer. Some of you, let Him bring a breakthrough inside of you. Let it burst forth with light inside of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit ask you, what if the Spirit of God can never lose?
What if the Spirit of God can never fail? What if the Spirit of God can never tell a lie? And that Spirit of God is residing inside you. How will you feel? If that Spirit of God is inside you, how will you feel? Wow, you will just explode in faith. You will just explode in joy. Let God bring you into that reality tonight. Thank you, Lord. Just receive all of you in your own way. Holy Spirit, let Holy Spirit minister to you. I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to pray for you. Because I know the Holy Spirit is very real. He wants to minister to you very deeply today in a personal way. In a personal way, let Him touch you deeply. There is a purpose. God draws you to come tonight, even though there are not many people. He wants to do a deep and personal work. Oh, it's a personal encounter you are having tonight. Thank you. The warmth of His love. More Lord. Just receive the warmth of Your love. Let Him tell you He's proud of you. I'm proud of you, my child. Oh, the warmth of His love. I can feel the warmth of His love. Learn to open up yourself to Him. Let Him touch you deeply tonight, my brother, my sister. Open up yourself, talk to Him. Let Him touch you. Let Him make you whole, because there is an anointing right now in this place. Step into the water and you will know there is an anointing in this place. Step into the water and you will feel. Skuralama Sidalabariya. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Shura la bala la man, shia. Ira la la maskulobo. Shida la la mana. Some of you, I know He's calling out to you. There is a yearning call of the Holy Spirit. The cry of a lover, the voice of the lover calling out. He's calling out to you and to me, the bride of Jesus, the Spirit of God. He's calling out to you and me, the bride of Jesus. Come arise, come away to the secret place. Come away to the secret place. Hallelujah. Come on, let's all of us just sing a new song today. Sing in the Spirit. Come on, let's sing with Him. Let it be a song of love. Sing a song of love, the bride of Jesus. Melody of love. Come on, catch the melody of love. Let the love song inside you arise. Let the song be pleasing to Jesus. Come on, open your mouth. Sing a new song of love. Simple song of love. Shira la 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 la.
from your old ways, sing a new song, sing a new song, sing a love 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 song. Fly, you are called to be an eagle.